What did you think?
I'm trying to reserve any words that might come off as being judgmental. I did feel comfortable there.
You can
leave that for me. Yeah, that's
that'll be my role.
Opinions?
I'll try opinions, not judging. Yes, not judgmental. Yeah.
Thank you for joining us for the Branches of Faith podcast, where we explore faiths across all religions by visiting a different house of worship every week. Here we share our reflections and observations. Thanks for listening. Hello, we are so excited to begin this journey and share it with you. I'm Katie, and I'm joined here by my sweet husband, Ben.
Hi.
This idea to visit different houses of worship has been bumping around in my mind like a pinball for a while now, and we finally made the decision to start. Today, we're going to discuss our experience at the Universalist Unitarian Church of Peoria. Now, we have been to this church before. We went literally the week before the world shut down for COVID, and I distinctly remember sitting there, and I think everyone felt like something was coming. We just didn't know really what yet at that point. That being said, we wanted to give this church another visit, and since we had been before, it felt like a comfortable way to ease into this. Before we start, though, I want to take a moment to acknowledge Ben's encouragement with this journey. As I mentioned, this is something I've wanted to explore for a while. And when he and I sat down to do our annual review / vision boarding, he helped me work through the logistics of it all and actually decided to join me. Originally, I was simply going to blog about it, which you also can find on Substack at Branches of Faith, but Ben thought podcasting about our experiences would be another great way to share what we discover with those of you who are interested in our exploration. So Ben, thank you again for your encouragement, and I would love to ask you what it was like for you as you walked in as a visitor to the Universalist Unitarian Church, but from here forward, we will just shorten that to UU or Unitarian.
Okay. I guess entering into the building, it's, I mean, you're a pretty typical looking church. You can recognize it from the curb. It has the same kind of stained glass appeal that any other church might have. I guess maybe my first observation, if I was to go back to before COVID, my first observation was that there were several greeters at the front, mm-hmm. and they were not doing handshakes, and it was the first time I ever did an elbow bump. And I remember that distinctly because it was, you know, just before COVID and stuff mm-hmm. like that, and it made the feeling of something serious was probably amongst us as in regards to, like, handshakes and hugs and people getting close and stuff like that.
Right,
that was the
COVID,
beginning of that, yeah. But most recently, still greeters at the door and, you know, welcoming smiles and a great atmosphere to start out. Not a lot of people, but I guess we'll get into more of that in a little bit.
Yeah. I was really impressed with their website. It was very detailed about what to expect as a visitor. And that's usually the first place I'm going when I'm researching a house of worship for us to visit, is I go to their website and just see how user-friendly it is for a visitor. How easy is it for us to navigate this process for something that we haven't done, to a place we've never been before? And they had a link right at the top that I think said, I'm new. And when you click on it, it had all sorts of details. It even was as detailed as offering up things to do just in Peoria, which was really nice, which I thought was good for people who might be traveling a little bit further to go to church there, because there's not a lot of UU congregations around the area, as far as I know. So that was super helpful. They have parking information, what to wear information, which of course detailed very casual wear was totally fine, and what to expect about the service as far as timing. The only thing I would comment that I noticed was it was actually kind of hard to find their service time. I found that buried in the parking information, ironically. It said to show up by 10:20 to park for service at 10:30. So I thought that was kind of funny. But that was what it was like for me, and I would echo your comments about the visitor, the greeter there for the visitors, and they asked us to fill out the form. I think you did that while I stepped out to the restroom, and you filled that out. And
have they reached out to us yet?
We have not heard from them, but when we had gone before COVID, they definitely reached out to us. So it could be that maybe we've already
still in the mail, maybe
that could be, or maybe because they already have done that with us before, that we might not be on that list for mm-hmm. them this time, which is fine. But yeah, I think people came up to us in the lobby, that which was nice, while we were kind of milling around. While, you know, you stepped out to the bathroom, a couple of people came up to me before we walked in to actually begin the service.
I can't remember, were they doing handshakes?
I don't think
they did.
Yeah, I think somebody shook our, yeah, I distinctly remember seeing somebody shake your hand.
Okay.
Yeah. I just, yeah, I think I remember that just because it was such a big thing before that they weren't doing that. Really stuck with this since it was COVID.
We should take a moment here to say too that Katie does the picking and selecting of which church we're going to go to. And she also does kind of like the survey of the website. And so that's why she's having comments on what the website was looking like. I have a question for you.
Yeah.
After we came in and we were greeted, and not in regards to like the atmosphere of the entryway, but when we walked into the, I don't even know if I know the name of the term of the main
a sanctuary.
Sanctuary,
maybe?
Yeah, I guess that
probably
would be
what
it.
I would call it.
What were your observation of that space?
So I like that space there. Now that I've been there a couple of times, it is modern, but not cold feeling. It's a warm, modern, contemporary feeling. And I like that it's at an angle, like the floor is actually sloped. So you can,
oh, like stadium.
Yeah. Yeah. Just enough so that you can see easily what's happening. Especially as a first time visitor or, you know, early on in your visiting. So you really understand what's going on. I think that's a nice feature, just architecturally for church buildings. I like that they had the main lobby where everybody was milling about. I'm kind of backing up here a little bit, before we got to walk in, and it was a large space. So there was plenty of room for people just to all be right there rather than maybe chopped up into different rooms as they waited for the service to begin. So it seemed like most people were out in the lobby area and then walked in really shortly right before the service started or right as it was starting. But I thought it was really beautiful architecture. If that's what you're asking is about mm-hmm. the architecture, I noticed a lot of really beautiful stained glass, like you mentioned before, from the exterior. But what I noted about the stained glass, and I will say this probably a few times, is that I was raised Catholic. So I'm used to stained glass with pictures of saints and Mary and Jesus and Joseph and all of the people that you think of when you think of going to a Christian church. But these were stained glass pictures of nature, which I'm very drawn to. I'm a big nature lover. And so I noticed, I think, mountains and water and grasses and things like that. So that was really interesting to me to see that different. But it was a very comfortable space. How about you? What did you notice about everything? I wouldn't think of it.
I think the stained glass struck me too. And it was my immediate observation that there weren't any depictions of like deities or anything like that. One was a floor to very high cathedral style ceiling of a forest scene with a river running through it. And then the other one was just a forest, I think with maybe birds in it or something like that. Additionally, outside of the stained glass, there was like a banner of flags, and each flag had a different symbol of a different religion. And I remember taking a picture of that because that was something that you're not used to seeing, all those symbols together. There was like the Judaism Star mm-hmm. of David. There was the little symbol with the moon and of Islam, and there mm-hmm. was humanism. There was Buddhism. There was Taoism.
Mm-hmm. Christianity.
Christianity was on. Yeah, there was a cross. There was a crucifix on there too. So that was not in the front and center, but it was in the front side mm-hmm. of the pulpit, if you want to call it that.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, very long pews, two rows of pews with a center aisle. And
I did notice off to the side, I thought this was really thoughtful that they had was
that's right.
The front two rows on the very far left as we were sitting facing forward was the scent free zone, which you could sit there. And I thought that was great. So that if you are sensitive to perfumes or oils or any of those types of things, shampoos, you could go sit there and be able to be away from that, which I thought was really great.
I think that's a good segue into an overall or a more general kind of a idea that they have about considerations of other people.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe
absolutely
with, you know, that being something that's very visual. There's a sign, you know, that kind of welcomes people into that area. But through their sermon, if you want to call it that, there were a lot of comments about open hearts and open minds and an acceptance of all people and a consideration of all people.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, from their website, their basis of their faith, it says their congregation holds a wide variety of religious beliefs, theist, atheist, humanist, Christian, Jewish, Buddhist, pagan, and others. So they are definitely open to interpretation at the UU Church.
It specifically said atheists on there?
Yes. I believe I copied and pasted that from here in my notes here. Yes.
That's interesting.
Yeah. So I think, I do remember that they say that. So it's very open to anything that somebody believes. And I think that their goal, again, from their website, I'll read this. This is some notes that I took. It says, most of all, we value religious freedom. We believe that everyone must ultimately make up his or her own mind about questions of spirituality and religion. The purpose of the church isn't to provide the answers, but to assist and encourage each of us in the search for our own truth. So they are providing the space and maybe the care and consideration and love.
I think they're also accepting where people, what it is that they find. You know, so it's the space and the encouragement, but what you find is not going to, I think, be discouraged. You know, if you're an atheist and you find that this is what you don't believe in an overall powerful being God, you can still come there.
Mm-hmm. And have a community and be...
Conversely, if you do, you know, feel like there is some sort of a draw to an idea of a power or even a deity, then you can still come there. Mm-hmm. And it's almost like they're just kind of trying to help flush out some of the questioning and help flush out some of the ways of making observations, but letting you come to your own, letting the spectators come to their own conclusion.
Right. Like in the sermon, she was talking about sowing the seeds of good things.
Lots of parallels with like nature, sowing and planting and harvesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. All right. Anything else about the sermon or anything about the message of the sermon that you noticed that really stuck out to you?
I think this was just after New Year's, so there was a lot of...
Actually, it was December 31st. It was the day before, so yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
So there was a lot of messaging about reflecting on the past and trying to ask yourself what you feel like you need, and then to focus and concentrate on that. And they, again, use that metaphor of like sowing your soil, tilling your soil, and that will be something that will eventually end up becoming like a plant for you later in the year, and you will harvest it. So if it was a sense of self-respect or a sense of, whatever examples they might come up with. Should also make note that there were two projection screens up there?
Yeah, so I'll talk about that for just a moment.
It was a heavy, I think, on the media.
Yeah, they were missing their main... minister, I think is minister? What they call her. Yes, they were missing. She was gone, so I'm sure it was with the holiday she was out of town. And so they filled in with a pre-recorded message from, I think, the president of the American UU Association, which she was a very eloquent, very intelligent woman. But I would say that was something that was hard for me to connect with, even though it was a really wonderful message. Having it be something that was on a screen projected to me made it feel a little bit disconnected.
Less personal?
Yeah, very much less personal. I did like the message, and I think she talked a lot about how the past few years, have been hard to sow seeds because it's just everything's felt so weird during COVID. And I do think we are, emotionally, I am personally past a lot of that. And been feeling pretty good, but I know that's not like that for everybody. And so I think she was really talking a lot about how it's felt hard to do that, but we need to even sow those seeds, even when it doesn't seem like the time is right. We still have to continue to put forward our energies into others and into our plans and our own selves. But I would say that was a little challenging for me to watch a video of somebody and not feel connected. And same with the music. They didn't have somebody there performing. It was pre-recorded songs that they had performances of
somebody on a piano.
Right. Yeah. Somebody singing and playing some drums. And again, in its own self, it was a great performance, but having it on a screen for me was, didn't feel very connected. Like I could just watch that at home rather than go somewhere. And I think for me, the idea of going to a house of worship is to be there to personally connect with all levels of the people that are involved in that service. And so when it's offered on a screen, that just felt a little uncomfortable. But I do think that was because of the scenario of it being December 31st and probably their main people out of town or busy or with family or something like that.
So are you, would you be curious to know if like we went back, it would be different? Or would you expect
Absolutely.
That it would be the same?
I would expect that it would be different. I have a feeling that was an anomaly, but we didn't get a chance to ask anybody. And I wish that we had taken the time to do that, which we can talk a little more about our interactions with people here shortly. But that was something that we didn't get a chance to address. Was this normal? And I think you heard a lady who had been sitting behind us as we walked out comment on just that she was anxious for the minister to come back, you know, in a way that this wasn't maybe the norm. So we kind of picked up on that. Yeah. Any other thoughts on that from you?
I hadn't mentioned like the root of their belief. I remember there being a comment. I guess there's two things that I want to talk about. It wasn't as if the whole sermon was a digital recording. There were, I want to say two other women who got up and took turns. At one, I think maybe two stories were told and they had some graphics up on the screen. And I think if I remember correctly, the story was about a husband and a wife who they lived in a treehouse, but they needed to live. They decided that they needed to live separately in order to be best versions of themselves.
Explain it out of context. Yeah. They were living separately, but together in the same property. And for some reason, one of them was in a treehouse and they were connected by a bridge and they had plants connecting the bridge and they had to pull too many plants for each of their own purposes.
Right.
That suddenly there were no more plants left. And it was kind of related back to the sowing the seeds to protect and to, for yourself and for others and for your community, but continuing to sow the seeds and not just pull from the growth because eventually you'll run out. And so it was the children's version. I think it was maybe done by their children's director and they read a story and then often dismiss the kids to like their own.
Did they explicitly do that, though?
They didn't. I don't think they do it in the winter, I think, is what I read somewhere. Again, it might have been because it was December 31st that maybe that wasn't happening. So a few logistic things that we were a little unsure of. But again, this was a holiday, and it was in the midst of a busy holiday season.
And I think I only saw two children there.
Yeah, there weren't many kids at this service. I would think when we went back originally about 3 years ago, there were definitely a lot more. In fact, we had had our kids with us, and we had tried to get them to go. But Genevieve threw a tantrum and didn't want to go, so we kept them with us. But yeah, like you said, there were definitely people that were getting up in person, speaking and doing things. And one other thing I want to point out about the service that I really liked, and I wish I had participated in, and I'll make a comment about that too, another sub-comment.
Oh, is this the candle thing?
Yeah, is that one of my goals as I explore different houses of worship is that I want to participate as fully as I am allowed to as a non-member. So I wish I had participated in this. I did not do it and I should have, but they had this really beautiful ceremony and I think it was just called the candle lighting. So they say a blessing and they light a candle, a main candle, and then they have all of these small unlit candles, like pretty skinny unlit candles up there and people can line up and have the option to go light their own candle
from the flame,
the original flame, or any of the other flames at that moment once they get up there and light their own candle in remembrance of somebody, in honor of something,
and joy,
whatever they want, in joy or sorrow, whatever they want it to be. In fact, they might even call it joys and sorrows. I can't remember. And I thought that was really beautiful, and they played some music in the background, and quite a few people got up and did it. I noticed one lady even lit probably four or five candles, which I thought was interesting. So I wish I had taken part of that because I thought that was a neat thing to do. And that was another interactive part of the service that was really beautiful and something that I think would be very touching to participate in if I were to go back there.
And I think after that candle lighting, there was a moment of silence that lasted for...
Yep.
And anytime you sit in a moment of silence for like a minute, it feels like five.
Right.
It was a solid minute of silence, I think.
Yep, definitely.
The other thing that I wanted to kind of touch on too was that there was a mention of a gentleman by the name of last name Patton, and I've not done any kind of deep research on this, but it said that, I guess maybe I understood it as that he was, in a way, the founder of the UU movement idea. And I don't even think at that time they even called it Universalist Unitarian. It was just, I think he called it like a one world religion is what he was kind of, and I think it came off of a publication of a book. And so at some point in time, if the gentleman Patton is the person who was, you know, maybe the founder of the Universalist Unitarian idea, they did make kind of a mention to that.
I think that was during that main sermon that was recorded by the current president of the UU. She mentioned that, I believe, if I'm recalling that correctly. It'd be interesting to go back and look a little bit more of the history of the church.
You began to talk a little bit about like the interaction that you had, or if not a direct interaction, like observations that you heard of other people, like the lady sitting behind mm-hmm. us with the braided hair. She had a very much a look of her that she was maybe Native American, mm-hmm. In the age of a grandmotherly kind mm-hmm. of figure. And I could hear her behind us mm-hmm. during the songs, like participating in the songs. Mm-hmm. So she seemed to me to be like a regular. Mm-hmm. And then she was also the one who made the comment about how
she was anxious for the minister to come back.
She was anxious for the minister to yeah. come back because that one was yeah. a little bit long-winded yeah. or something she like thought, she said yeah. that. But did you have any other observations, either directly or indirectly,
yeah.
of people and their interactions there?
Yeah. So just the demographic, if that's okay that I talk about that, of the church is surprisingly older than I would expect. And I don't know if that's because it's just gotten harder for families to try to make it to church, and that's just how it is at churches. That's something we'll learn as we go through this process. But for a church that seems to be, I mean, they're blatantly liberal. They say we are a liberal congregation. To be older, especially when we live in such a conservative area, was surprising to me, like pleasantly surprising. I definitely noticed gay couples there, and
I saw an interracial couple.
Yeah, interracial gay couples. It felt very open and welcoming to anybody with any walk of life. And that was really great. I did feel like it was pretty low attendance, but again, we have nothing to base this off. So I just a disclaimer here, as we make our comments,
yeah.
we have zero basis for what to expect or what not to expect. These are really just our observations, and they're not good or bad necessarily. There might be times that they are good or bad, but when we're talking strictly about what we observe about who's there, the amount of people are there, we don't know if that's normal or if
right.
it was low because it was December 31st.
It should be noted that this is a snapshot, not a video reel
right. yeah.
of the way that it always is or mm-hmm. often is, or even, you know, any kind of interpretation of that. This is just a single day mm-hmm. plucked up out of the year.
Right. A chance for us to get to experience lots of different houses of worship, the people there, for me to maybe find a commonality, which I think I will, but to affirm that commonality for myself, and just to see what there is and what it's like for people and what people are drawn to for whatever reason. So
we're also not going to the churches in the way that most people might go to a church. We're not going to try and find a place to continue to go.
Mm-hmm.
I can imagine a scenario where somebody moves into like a new town and says, hey, we need to go find a church. And they might bounce around to four or five different churches, but they're, I think, in the end, looking for a place to settle.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know that I know that I'm not looking mm-hmm. for that. I'm in it as an observer. Mm-hmm. I've always been kind of fascinated with, you know, the group think of religion and beliefs and how it kind of maybe ties together or doesn't tie mm-hmm. together.
Absolutely. Yeah. I would say I'm not necessarily looking for a place to land, but if it happens naturally, then I will be open to that is probably where I would leave that. And I don't know where that will be. And that's part of this journey. So anyway, my point is, these observations are not judgments, and I want to make that abundantly clear, and I'm sure I'll repeat that many times. So it was low from what we would have expected attendance, but again, that could have been the holidays, could have been any number of reasons. And I know they also offer online, you know, service like many churches do now. And so who knows how many people are watching online and still participate in other things in the church and maybe just not Sunday morning services. So
a quick catch up. We've gone from, you know, the people greeter at the door mm-hmm. to, you know, the architecture, the visuals of the space, the sermon, some of the messaging. And as things started to wrap up, I think most of the time, if not all the time, we're going to try and get to that commons or the social mm-hmm. Gathering afterwards.
The lady at the beginning who greeted us made mm-hmm. sure to invite us right away to stick around after that for that, which I thought was very nice. And she said, I really want to talk to you afterwards, which I thought was a kind mm-hmm. thing to say, not just, hey, come for coffee, but hey, I want to talk to you afterwards, which unfortunately we actually didn't get to because we ended up sitting down at a pretty full table with some other couples.
Oh, to talk to her?
Yeah, we didn't get a chance to see her, but I thought it was a nice offer mm-hmm. of her. And she asked us lots of questions about ourselves in the beginning too. I think I overheard you telling her what we do and where we're from. So mm-hmm. she got a lot of good information about us and gave us a chance to ask questions too. So yeah, we ended up in the coffee area, which
was like a little cafeteria. Mm-hmm. Oh, very well lit
nice.
Room.
Yeah, I mean, not a cafe. Yeah. Yeah, like a sunroom, a You're large
right. it's
sunroom.
Not a cafeteria, but,
but
idea.
There was
a kitchen
they could
there.
Serve
there were
food.
Tables.
Yeah,
yeah,
definitely big windows. Very well lit. I think you can walk out of there. They have a garden. I think they have a memory garden where people can actually have their ashes interned there, if that's the right word for that. But a garden outside and playground that you can probably, I'm sure in the warmer weather, they open things up. They're very nature inspired, it seems like, and nature motivated at that church. So
we are
sure
in the Midwest, so it's, you know, icy and snowy out right now.
Not gonna
so
happen.
That wasn't being used
right
when we were there.
Right.
But there were, you know, trays of cookies. It looks like they were probably brought in from some of the people of the congregation.
Sure.
They weren't like out of a Casey's gas station
right.
box
they were
or anything.
Yeah, homemade cookies,
yeah,
which is nice.
I think there was some chips and salsa mm-hmm. and some coffee and some tea and some cider, mm-hmm. stuff like that. So we sat down at a table with, I want to say, four people.
Right away, one lady noticed that we were getting our food and noticed we were new and said, come sit with us, mm-hmm. like right away. So she made sure we sat down, and then we did, and there was a couple other people there. And
she was older, mm-hmm. right?
They all were.
I guess most everybody
yeah,
was.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. But right away, people asked us about ourselves, and we were able to draw a lot of connections and commonalities with the other people at the table. Our main job is that we invest in real estate, and the other man sitting there also had done that. And then there was, I think, another artist at the table, and we're also artists. And so there was a lot of great things to talk about. And
it was pleasant.
Yeah, they held conversation really well. There was no downtime in the conversation between us asking them questions about themselves and just the getting to know each other. They were very eager to have conversation.
Yeah, if coming in and sitting down and the sermon was an hour and 15 minutes, I think the coffee afterwards was 45 mm-hmm. minutes to an hour.
Yeah.
And we're trying to make sure that we carve time out of the day, and we're not kind of trying to rush things. So
right.
we definitely slot 2.5 hours mm-hmm. on
for
a Sunday
drive time
to just go do this.
Right. Yeah. I mean, we live almost a half hour away from this church, so we have to allow plenty of time to get there. And at most of the churches that we're going to visit, we're mm-hmm. going to, our goal is to visit churches in Peoria. We live outside of Peoria, about a half hour away in a pretty tiny little town. And one thing that we're not wanting to do right now is go to churches where everybody's going to know us, because it's going to be hard, I think, initially to explain to people what we're doing. And we want to go to places where people don't necessarily know us or have expectations out of us. And we want to be a little more anonymous, which we'll share more about that as we go through this and what that ends up being like. So, because actually I think the lady ended up remembering us from visiting before. She said,
she
said when we told her our name, she goes, "Oh, I remember you."
Years ago.
She had been on the new member committee, or that was her role at the church at the time. And she remembered, you know, maybe sending us something or calling us to follow up afterwards. So I thought that was neat that she remembered us from before. But yeah, we definitely have to carve out time, and we want to not rush through things. We want to soak it up while we're there, because it might be a one-off visit for many of the places.
So now that we're wrapping things up, this is your chance to go ahead and summarize.
I really like the UU Church. I feel like the nature part of it, the love for nature and the affection for nature and the desire to be a good human first, really resonates with me. I would like to try it again, and maybe in a more normal time when I know the minister is going to be there, or if they're going to have music, just to get a feel for what it was like, what it would be like maybe in a more typical setting, and really soak that up. It was a really great experience. I feel very comfortable going there. Everyone was very welcoming. Nobody asked us anything that made us feel uncomfortable, at least from my perspective. Nobody says, "Do you already have a church?" or "Where have you been going?" or "What brings you here today?" other than maybe just welcome. I mean, maybe they said, "What brings you?" I don't know if they did really.
I don't remember that.
I don't think they didn't make a big, it was, other than just wanting to get to know us, it didn't feel pressured or anything. We didn't have to like stand up and introduce ourselves or anything like that. Or
I wouldn't like that.
No. No. And that could happen. I know that that does happen at some places. So we need to be prepared for that. But they didn't do any of that there. It was just very kind and within just respectful boundaries, I felt like. So how about you? What did you think?
I'm trying to reserve any words that might come off as being judgmental. I did feel comfortable there.
You can
leave that for me. Yeah, that's
that'll be my role.
Opinions?
I'll try. Opinions, not judgy. Yes, sorry. Not judgmental.
Yeah.
Observations.
Yeah, I mean, my observations were of my emotions and my feelings that I was comfortable, mm-hmm. and I felt welcomed, and my reservation would be that if I were to have a family with little kids, I don't think the little kids would want to be there, because mm-hmm. They're it's like a critical mass is yet to be attained, mm-hmm. At least in the snapshot of the day that we
right.
were there. You know, there were two other little kids there.
Like we said.
If, if there were eight other little kids there, the message mm-hmm. and everything, and if they were to be pulled off and to do some sort of a activity.
Although
with,
I do remember the kids were involved. They came up to
they
help
did.
Assist with that initial candle
with,
lighting.
With what was probably their mom or.
Yeah, that was cute.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think for you and I could see us going.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think the kid, I think we would get a little bit of pushback from the kids about, you know, using time on Sunday to go do that, which is unfortunate because a lot of good messaging, mm-hmm. you know, was had there, mm-hmm. I think.
Right. Exactly. So. All right. Anything else?
Do you want to talk a little bit about where we're going to go next week?
Yeah, absolutely. So thank you again for joining us for the first inaugural Branches of Faith podcast. This has been fun. This has been something that we've been wanting to do for a while, or I've been wanting to do for a while, and Ben has pushed this along beautifully with the podcasting. So next week, we are going to be talking about our experience at First Federated Church of Peoria. So please join us again,
mm-hmm.
and send us a message if you have any questions. Thank you.